are able. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. Back in the 16th century, Martin Luther came up with a doctrine that he called the two kingdoms. Actually, he called it the two governments, but Philip Melanchthon called it the two kingdoms and wrote more than Luther did about stuff that we had published, but in Luther's name, and so we kind of took that moniker, kingdoms, the two kingdoms doctrine. And what this doctrine said was that there were two kingdoms. There was the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and then there was the kingdom of human beings. And this was coming at a time when, for centuries now, the ecclesiastic authorities were overlapping with the governmental authorities. It's when people were using God to justify government actions. And so Luther proposed this doctrine of two kingdoms to say that while there are two, they are separate, and that human beings should lead government positions, specifically non-ecclesiastic human beings, and God should lead the ecclesiastical responsibilities in the world through priests and preachers and whatnot. And you could draw a line from this doctrine all the way to the founding of our country and separation of church and state. One of those many, many influences that Luther had. And so I want to talk about these two kingdoms today. And I want to say, I really refrain quite often from trying to speak in absolutes. I'm a millennial. I don't like absolutes. But today I am going to speak in absolutes. Because when I talk about these two kingdoms, I fundamentally believe as a Christian and as a pastor that what I'm about to say is one of the most important things we need to hear and live out as Christians in this world. And so I want to lift up these two kingdoms. And I will say, the first kingdom is this human kingdom. It is a kingdom that has been created and managed by human beings. And because it has been managed by human beings, it has been brought with it that fear that I've been speaking about the last couple weeks, that fear that we all have as human beings, regardless of our economic status, that fear that we will not have enough, that fear that we can be destitute at any moment, that fear that drives us to try to protect ourselves at any cost. Because human beings have managed this human kingdom, and because they have brought this fear with them, they have brought a sense and a need to control this kingdom, often with power, with violence, with coercion. It is from this kingdom that we experience things such as division and greed and actions that hurt people. It is in this world that I feel we now live where ideology and tribalism are far more important to us than human life. It is in this world that when people are hurting, when people are marginalized, when people are oppressed, we look the other way, not because we don't care, but because it doesn't directly affect our own lives. And we have the ability to look away. We experience this human kingdom in personal ways, in all of the ways that we try to manipulate or harm or hold grudges or resentment or express anger in unhealthy ways. It's in all the ways that we feel those same things from loved ones and friends and people around us in our own personal locations. We also experience this world on a much more systemic way. And we've had these shootings the last few weeks that are just absolutely devastating. We have a political system that is so unbelievably divisive, where good people come together with such anger and malice towards each other. We see the expressions of this human kingdom in such incredibly violent, big ways at times that it's almost unbearable. And you know what's worse is that we've created a theology around all of this stuff, a theology that allows us to affirm these ways of acting in the world. We create a theology where we can take people and say, well, they don't believe in God, or they believe in God differently than we do, so we don't need to care about them as much. Or we've created a theology that is so focused on an afterlife that we don't need to care about the hurt that's happening in our world now, both to people and to the planet. This human kingdom, it exists. It exists, and we have adapted to it. It was Jay Krishnamurti who said that it is no measure of health to be well-adjusted to a profoundly sick society. We've adapted to this human kingdom in such a way that at times I think we even add morality and values to it to affirm this kind of pain that exists in this world. And we've done it with God. But then there's this other kingdom, God's kingdom. It is a kingdom of compassion and nonviolence, of justice, justice done with cooperation. It is a kingdom that looks at these systems that harm people, these systems that marginalize and oppress people, and then flips them right on their heads. It is a world that looks at all of those same marginalized and oppressed people and not only lifts them up and affirms their divine identity as God's beloved children, but then seeks to bring them back into our communities. And you know what? We participate in this kingdom too. With every act of kindness, every act of compassion, every act of standing up for what's right and virtuous and beautiful in this world, every time we gather with loved ones to mourn and cry, every time we gather to eat and laugh and just share in fellowship with each other, every time we do any of those things, that is God's kingdom right there breaking out into our world. And we participate in it and we experience it almost daily. Now, this is the part where I diverge from Luther as a Lutheran pastor. Take note, okay? It's a big deal. Martin Luther thought these kingdoms should be separate. And the reason he thought they should be separate was because he thought that at some point in the future, God was going to come and correct everything. At some point, it was going to be God's action that was going to show up and completely bring these kingdoms together so that God's kingdom was the human kingdom. But honestly, I really believe, and this is the absolute part, I truly fundamentally believe this, that it is God's desire for these two kingdoms to come together now. Now, I don't mean this by any kind of government-led thing. I absolutely believe in a separation of church and state. I don't think we should seek for our government leaders to make something like this happen, Rather, I think it's people-led. I think it's Christ-follower-led. It is God's desire that these two kingdoms come together in each and every one of you in how you live your lives, both as individuals and as part of a community. And here's the question, why? Why do I believe this? Why do I think this is absolutely true? As Jesus states in the beginning of our gospel lesson today, it is God's good pleasure that you would have this kingdom. It is purely out of God's desire and joy that each and every one of you, as His own beloved children, would get to experience this kingdom right now. And you have all of those moments in your lives. Right now, I've got this 2-year-old little girl standing right here yelling, "Dada." And it's amazing. She's one of the greatest sources of joy in my life, and for almost any parent, those of you who are parents here, you get to experience that kingdom and the joy of your own children, watching them grow up, watching them become the people they are, getting to see them be married and to participate in that service and that wonderful ceremony. Every moment of coming out of yourself and giving to others and living for those who are around you is God's kingdom breaking out into this world, is God's kingdom coming together with our own human kingdom. All of these millions and millions of tiny little bright lights of God's kingdom breaking through into our world, and each and every one of you has experienced them in your life. And it's God's desire that you do so, because it's God's pleasure that you experience that wholeness that this life has to offer. Last Sunday, our church had a film series. We got together and we watched the movie Mary Magdalene with Rooney Mara and Joaquin Phoenix. I was really unhappy that Joaquin Phoenix was cast as Jesus, but then I watched it. My goodness, he did a really, really good job. Excuse me. In the movie, though, they're always talking about the kingdom, constantly. It's probably talked about in that movie more than anything else. Jesus' disciples are always talking about God's kingdom and how Jesus is going to be ushering in God's kingdom at any moment. And for them, God's kingdom was when complete justice was enacted in the world. It's when the Romans were kicked out. It's when full reconciliation was present in this world. But for them, it was something that Jesus was going to start one day, and they were waiting for it. And then there was Mary Magdalene, who, when she would hear Jesus talk about the kingdom, heard something else. For her, it resonated with these experiences that she had had in her own life already. Then there was this incredibly powerful scene in the movie where Mary Magdalene and Peter are supposed to be going to neighboring towns to spread the gospel, and they show up to this one Samaritan town that had just been leveled to the ground by Romans. When they showed up, they witnessed all of these people who were either dead or dying. Peter's first thought was, there's nothing we could do for any of these people. We need to go on to the next town and baptize them so that they could join our cause, so that they could join the revolution. But instead, Mary grabbed her satchel, ran down to the river and filled it with water, and came back to these people who Peter saw that had no hope, and started to give them water, started to be present with them in their need. Several of them, she just sat there holding them while they died. It was in this moment that the movie really comes to light, where you can see the point that God's kingdom isn't about some future realization, but all of these present experiences that we can have, both in love and joy and in sorrow and in grief. Jesus talks about alertness and immediacy in the Gospels a lot. He always talks about being alert and being ready. We've often, throughout time, looked at that to say, well, that means that God's kingdom is coming soon. The end of the world is going to happen at any moment, and we all need to be ready. There's been people throughout history that have started movements around this. I don't know if any of you remember Harold Camping, October 21st, 2012. That came and went, right? This idea that everything is on God and that God's going to suddenly show up and just take care of everything. And we've looked at these texts of alertness as that. Just be ready for when it happens. I don't know why, so you could watch it. But when you look at it in this way, that alertness is right there. That immediacy is right there. Folks, you all need to be ready. You all need to be alert. You need to have this immediacy in your heart all the time, especially when you walk out of those doors. You need to be ready at all times. Not for God to come in and wipe the slate clean and replace this world with a new one, but for every single moment that approaches you, that is the kingdom of heaven right there, right now. You need to be ready or you're going to miss it. I've said this before, but my biggest fear is that when I go to heaven one day, God's not going to show me all my sins. God's going to show me all of the ways that I missed the kingdom while I was here on earth. Be ready, folks. Be ready to love. Be ready to stand up for justice. Be ready to be there for people. Be ready to share in this life. Be ready because the kingdom is here and it's now. So let's get to work. Amen. Please stand as you are able.